A man was sleeping when his wife shook him. Wake up, someone is breaking in. The man had gone through this almost every night for 20 years. He knew the only way he could get rest was to go and check. But this time, however, there was a man who had entered the house. And when the thief spotted the husband coming along and he was about to flee, the husband shouted, "Wait, you have to come with me to meet my wife." The thief asked, "Why?" The husband replied, "Well, she's been expecting you for 20 years." It appears to me, friends, that we all have been expecting something, that we all have been waiting for someone. And we find that waiting is hard. Do you know that during this Christmas season, many people will lose their patience? There was a survey done of over 1,000 people many years ago by the Associated Press. And they came out with these top four discoveries. If on hold on the phone, most people will lose patience in 9 minutes. Women lost their patience after waiting in line for about 18 minutes. Most men lose their patience after waiting 15 minutes. People with a lower income and less education are more patient than those with lots of education and high income. People who live in rural towns are more patient than those who live in the city. Yay. Adults have a hard time waiting, friends. Children also. You notice when children get in the car, the first thing they ask is, "Are we there yet?" The children find it very hard to wait for Christmas. One of the favorite things they say is, "How many more sleeps until Christmas?" Christmas is often associated with waiting. In the Gospel of Luke, we come across two characters who make an appearance in the final acts of the Christmas story. One is a man, his name is Simeon. The other is a woman, her name is Anna. They don't appear in any nativity scene, or they will never find them on a Christmas card. And not one Christmas carol includes them. But they are very significant in the first Christmas. Both of them were waiting for something. In fact, actually, they were waiting for someone. Luke uses a Greek word for anticipation that identifies them as waiting with expectation for the coming of the Messiah. It literally means that they were alert to his appearance and ready to welcome him. We will see this word in our text, that Simeon was waiting and Anna was looking forward to. We are introduced to Simeon in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. In other words, Simeon was waiting for comfort. The name Simeon means one who hears and who obeys. Simeon was righteous before people, and he was devout in his relationship with God. At that time, friends, things were not going good for the nation of Israel. They hadn't heard from God for 400 years, and they were under the oppressive Roman government. They had lost their political independence and were now living in fear of a very crafty and cruel king, Herod. And many of the people were wondering if the Messiah would ever come. And then in verse 26, it shows us that Simeon had good reason for his hope and anticipation. Why? Because it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon's expectations focused on the comfort that Jesus Christ would bring. Among the Jews of Simeon's day, one of the popular titles for Messiah was Comforter. They were longing for the Messiah to come and bring his comfort to them. It strikes me, friends, that the desire to be comforted is a universal human need. We struggle with poverty and depression and desperation. In fact, the Christmas season is one of the major crisis times of the year for depression and loneliness and so on. And verse 27 says, and it's not on your screen, that the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go to the temple courts just at the right time, on the right day, when Joseph and Mary were bringing their infant to the temple as the law of the Lord required for every firstborn male to be dedicated to the Lord. And so when Simeon looked at baby Jesus, who was now 40 days old, about 6 weeks old, Simeon knew that God had kept his promise. Yeah, before him was Emmanuel, God with us, to make everything right and to eliminate rejection and fear and loneliness. Verse 28, which is not on your screen, also says that Simeon then reached down and took the child into his arms. He took the child out of Mary's arms and immediately began to praise God. Let me pause for a moment here. How would you feel, friends, if some old man came up to you and took your baby into his arms and started singing out loud? I'm sure that this was a bit unsettling for Joseph and Mary, but Simeon didn't look dangerous at all. And as he broke out into praise, he acknowledged that God had not only fulfilled his promise to him, but also the promises of the prophets to send the anointed one to comfort both the Jews and the Gentiles. And I want to tell you the words of Simeon's song. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. Verse 29 to 32 are the words of his song. He sings out loud, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Friends, now that Simeon had seen the Savior, he says, I am ready to die. I'm ready to go now, Lord. To see Jesus, friends, is to see salvation. And until you embrace him, you are not ready to die. Until you embrace Jesus, you are not ready to die. The word dismiss or depart was used for releasing a prisoner, unyoking the burden, a burden, a beast of burden. And when a believer dies, they are released from the burdens of life and ushered into the blessings of eternal life. The other Christmas character waiting with anticipation was Anna. The name Anna is the Greek version of the name Hannah. After her husband had died, she dedicated herself to fasting and praying in the temple. Verse 36 and 37 says, there was also a prophetess. Now I notice on the Zoom, I left out prophetess. I just said there was a prophet, but it's prophetess. Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped day, night and day, fasting and praying. In fact, friends, the Bible says that she never left the temple. She worshipped day and night. She just lived there, worshiping. She was looking forward to the same person as Simeon was, but with a different reason. Verse 38 says, let's take a look. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So she's worshiping God. She's looking at the baby and all the people in the temple. She turns around and says, yes, the redemption of the Lord. The redemption of Jerusalem. The phrase coming up to them. Coming up to them means to burst in, to enter with enthusiasm and zeal and zest and excitement. It's like she heard Simeon's song. And when he had finished, she rushed in and praised God and began speaking about redemption. Friends, the word redemption is related to the idea of captivity. The Old Testament Passover and the release of Israel from Egypt stood in Anna's day as redemption and a symbol of God's power to release captives. Ultimately, the Passover pointed ahead to the day when God would release and deliver his people from the slavery of sin. Do you see that, friends? It's not releasing them and delivering them and setting them free from a town or another country, but from the slavery of sin. A ransom is something that is paid. A ransom is paid. to provide for the release of someone who is held in captive. How much did Jesus pay for us? How much money? We don't know. He redeemed us with his precious blood. Friends, Jesus paid our ransom to redeem us from sin, death, and hell. And when Anna saw him, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were also waiting for redemption. Yeah, at last was the one who would save his people from their sins. In Matthew 1, verse 20 and 21, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will redeem, he will save his people from their sins." Friends, when Jesus came to this earth, he provided the very thing that Anna and Simeon were waiting for. He came to provide comfort, and he came to provide forgiveness. Let me ask you a question. What are you waiting for this Christmas? What are you waiting for? Whatever it is, friends, Jesus can give it to you. Can anyone here identify with Simeon today? Some of you are really hurting right now. You feel lonely and empty and afraid and depressed and discouraged. Do you need some comfort? Some consoling? Do you need a fresh sense of God's presence? And if so, friends, you can find what you are looking for in Jesus. He came to console us right where we are. He is the consolation of Israel. He is the consolation of the world. Or do you identify with Anna? Are you plagued with the guilt this Christmas because of something you've done or you said or the way you have been living? Do you feel like you are trapped in a pattern of sin that you can't break out of? If you need forgiveness, Jesus can give it to you today. I can think of no better time than Christmas, friends, to do just that. Let me continue by saying, for us, there are three action steps from this passage that will help you and I experience God's comfort and forgiveness this Christmas. Number one, become a marveler. Become a marveler. When Joseph and Mary tried to process everything that was happening, look at what verse 33 says. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him, what was said about Jesus. According to the dictionary, to become a marveler is to be filled with awe and amazement and wonder and astonishment and surprise. Are you a marveler this Christmas? Does the birth of Jesus take away your breath? Are you astonished, man? Are you amazed? Or are you caught up in the busyness of the time? Hey, I've got to get this done. Have you been running around because of the holidays? Or is Christmas a holy day? Has Christmas become too predictable, too familiar? Hey, it's just the same old, same old. Have you heard the Christmas story so much that it no longer astonishes you? Actually, friends, this can be a dangerous time of the year for us. Our annual celebration of Christmas can make us indifferent to the reality. We hear just enough of the story each year. You know what? It's the same old story. Have we become indifferent to the marvelous message of Christmas? Here's an idea that may help you recapture the marvel of Christmas. How about picking one of the Christmas characters? Put yourself in their sandals. Imagine what it must be like to witness the Christmas story firsthand. Yeah, go ahead. Choose Mary or Joseph. Choose the shepherds. Choose Simeon, Anna, or the wise men. Choose that you may marvel at the coming of our Lord. Then become a mover. Become a mover. Verse 27 says, Simeon, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Now we drop down to 38. Anna, coming up, bursting in. Coming up to them at that very moment. She gives thanks to God. Both Simeon, friends, and Anna were movers. When the Holy Spirit prompted them to move, they didn't sit still and say, oh man, it's cold outside. I wonder what would have happened if they had not responded. Actually, every one of the Christmas characters responded to the Holy Spirit's leading, of course, with the exception of Herod. Mary was ready to move when she said to the angel, Luke 1:38, may it be to me as you have said. What about Joseph demonstrated that he was a mover? Matthew 1:24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. What about the shepherds? The shepherds were movers as well. When they said to one another in Luke 2 verse 15, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. What about the wise men who saw the star and moved out of their comfort zones to go and find King Jesus? Friends, when God prompts you to do something, then you need to do it. For some folks, it might mean salvation to you. The Lord's been calling you. The Holy Spirit's been prompting you to give your heart to the Lord. It might be for others, full surrender that God is calling you to. God's calling you to surrender to Him, friends. Or maybe the Holy Spirit wants you to get more involved in ministry, in serving. Do you sense Him asking you to do something today? Are you a mover? Are you willing to move? Don't procrastinate, friends, when God prompts you to do something. You know why? You may miss out on the miracle of Christmas. You can't stay neutral about Jesus. You're either for Him or against Him. You're either moving closer to Him or further away from Him. You either have the Son or you don't. interestingly, as we work at becoming marvelers, we can't help but become movers. And that leads us to the final step from our passage. Become a messenger. Verse 38 says, Anna, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Do you have family and friends who are caught up in the busyness and preparation of Christmas? Maybe their longings and anticipation represents their inner search for comfort and forgiveness. Those things that only the Messiah can provide. God wants each one of us to become messengers of the Christmas story. Last week we sang, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, what? That Jesus Christ is born. Tell people you meet. Tell them that Jesus, the Comforter and the Redeemer, has been born, friends. I want to conclude by saying that you and I become marvelous when we do so. The wonder of Christmas still astonishes us, still amazes us. Amen. Amen. And then as we become movers, our needs for comfort and forgiveness will be met. And as we take our role as messengers seriously, we will be in a position to introduce other people to Jesus Christ of Christmas, so that they in turn may have what they have been waiting for. In a nutshell, Christmas is a marvelous, moving message. How can we not find what we've been looking for? And how can we keep quiet about it? Once you have the Son, you have everything. I told you this story, I think it was about 5 years ago. I'll tell you again. It's called Whoever Takes the Son. Many years ago, there was a wealthy man who shared a passion for art collecting with his son. They had priceless works of Picasso and Van Gogh adorning the walls of their family estates. As winter approached, war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. After only a few short weeks, the father received a telegram. Your son had died. Distraught and lonely, the man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and sadness. The joy of the season had vanished with the death of his son. On Christmas morning, a knock on the door awakened the depressed old man. As he walked to the door, the masterpieces of art on the walls only reminded him that his son was not coming home. As he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand who said, I was a friend of your son. I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to show you. The soldier mentioned that he was an artist and gave the old man a package. The paper gave way to reveal the portrait of the man's son. Though the world would never consider it to be a work of genius, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the old man hugged the portrait over the fireplace, pushing aside millions of dollars worth of art. His task completed, the old man sat in his chair and spent Christmas gazing at the gift he had been given. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession, far eclipsing any interest in the pieces of art for which museums around the world clamored. The following spring, the old man died. The art world waited in anticipation for the upcoming auction. According to the will of the old man, all the artworks would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he had received the greatest gift. The day soon arrived, and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled that day. The auction began with a painting that was not on anyone's museum list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room was silent. Who will open the bidding with $100? No one spoke. Finally, someone said, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's move on to the good stuff." The auctioneer responded, "No, we have to sell this one first." "Now, who will take the son?" Finally, the neighbor of the old man offered $10. "It's all I have. I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it." The auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, gone." The gavel fell. Cheers filled the room as someone exclaimed, "Now we can bid on the real treasures." The auctioneer looked at the room filled with people and announced that the auction was over. Everybody was stunned. Someone spoke up and said, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a painting of someone's son. There are millions of dollars worth of art here. What's going on?" And the auctioneer responded, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets it all." This illustration puts things into perspective, doesn't it, friends? The message is the same this Christmas. Because of the Father's love, whoever takes the son gets it all. Let's look at our closing verse. And I've added, "For God, the Father, who so loved the world, all of us, that he gave his only begotten son, the son, that whosoever believes in him, takes the son, should not perish, but have everlasting life," gets it all. Amen. Amen. Will you take Jesus this Christmas, friends? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer.